Hey, it's Cindy Howes and Lizzie Noh from the podcast Basic Folk, honest conversations with folk musicians.
Basic Folk is truly changing the game with our well-researched deep dives that aim to empower the listener while fostering the folk community.
I basically am writing worship music for youth group rejects.
Maternal regrets and maternal guilt are universal.
I try to make things that are beautiful and that are made with like a purity of intention.
You can listen to Basic Folk on the Bluegrass Situation Podcast Network or at basicfolk.com.
If you take anything from this podcast,
it like rinses out all the good juices and stuff. Right? Sorry, Marilyn.
I never thought I would be a douche expert in this regard.
Cut.
I'm crying. Oh, no.
Hey, everybody. This is Bree Bagwell, and this is my podcast, Only Vans, where I talk to my friends in my van.
Not that I want to cuss, but can we say cuss?
Yeah, you can cuss.
Okay.
We had that talk early on, and then we thought about just saying like putting like Marilyn Bagwell filter over it, or like, sorry, mom, like over it.
Yeah.
And bleeping it out. And then we thought, like, it hasn't been enough. Like, there might be like an occasional.
Yeah.
But it's like, sometimes you just really need like a well-placed cuss word, and that's like totally fine.
Yeah, you're right.
And mom, I think mom would agree with that.
Or if you have to, you can go beep, you know, it's cool.
Right. Beep. Sorry, mom. So it's like, we've kind of just been like BSing a bit like beforehand. So are we good, Ka? Well, I'm just, first of all, surprised that you're here because you've been editing my video and you've just been staring at my face constantly for days.
I literally like left my house editing your video all morning and here I am.
Yeah. You're like, if I have to hear that song one more time.
No, I love it. I love it. It's a great song. It's a good thing. It's a good song.
Thanks. Well, thanks for doing the video. I don't know how you edit. I've seen you do it like you sit there like a madman and you just edit your life.
It's fun when there's great footage and Luke shot it beautifully. So like sometimes if I got to edit something and I'm not happy with the footage, then it's not fun.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being here. It's early for both of us. You have a gig today. I don't.
Yeah. Tonight. Yeah. I'm so jealous. Like, cause I want to be off. I feel like when is it just me or like when you're off, you feel like you're playing hooky?
I feel like I'm on vacation. Kyle's driving. I'm drinking champagne like right now. So, you know. Yeah, it feels very strange. My bass player is getting married tomorrow.
Look what I'm doing. Isn't that funny? That feels good to me. A stick in my hand.
I'm gonna try it.
Cup holder there.
Okay.
I don't know. Why does that feel good?
I don't think it feels good.
Okay.
Great. Okay, let's go ahead and get started.
All right.
First things first, how many heart attacks have you had and do you plan to have any more?
I hope not. I've had one, but this sounds terrible, and I'm not proud of it, but I've OD'd twice, had one heart attack, got run over by a car. I think that's about it.
You're a cat.
For now.
You're basically a cat.
Yeah. So I have, like, what, five less lives left?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I feel like I was still here for a reason, so I had, after my heart attack, I wouldn't have had, if I wouldn't have survived that, I wouldn't have had kids, that are awesome. I wouldn't have Brody Lane. I wouldn't have, I wouldn't be sitting here.
Right. You're here for this podcast.
That's right.
That's why.
That's why.
After
I
you
made
leave
it.
Here, it's all bets are off.
Yeah. All bets. Yeah. I'm here to be sitting in the parking lot at Bucks. We both have shows here somewhere down our near future. I don't know if we're going to just wait it out. Reckless Kelly's playing tomorrow or tonight. Are they playing another tonight?
What day is it? That's tomorrow,
okay,
I think.
It's tomorrow, yeah.
But we're not sure when this podcast is airing. It might air in like 2028.
Okay.
So we're not going to mislead everybody watching or listening.
Reckless Kelly will be broken up by then.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be real sad if that's true. I'm just kidding. And also my next question was, will you tell us all where the Fountain of Youth is? Because it's almost your birthday and you're... Like, actually, 70,
85.
72. I was going to say 72, but you look 25, and I don't understand how you do it.
I don't know. You look good, too.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
Yeah, we look all right.
I think we look good. It is a lot of pressure to, like...
You know, like, I didn't think, like, because I feel like my age, but like I don't like when people are like, "Oh, you look young," blah blah, and I'm like, "They're just being nice." But like, and I say this lovingly, if anybody from my high school is listening, go to your 20-year high school reunion. Like, don't skip out on that, or the 25, because one, you get to catch up with all these beautiful folks that you grew up with, but two, you really get to see, man, it just like. All these hot girls that I used to date, they're like have mustaches now, and their boobs are down like to their belt and stuff. They're like, "Hi, this girl, I love her." My high school girlfriend, her name was Beep, and the only reason I dated her was because my friends were like, "Dude, Beep has a crush on you," and just her thing was like she had the biggest boobs in high school. So they were like, "You got to date her. She has like, you got to date her because you have to tell us." You know, we have to live vicariously. You have to tell us like what those are about.
It's before the internet.
Yes. So there was no OnlyFans or anything like that. But yeah, so yeah, I dated her and they were everything that they were cracked up to be. And she was really hot. And I think we broke up because we'd been dating for like 3 months and we only got to third base. And I was like, I can't do that. So, but anyway, I saw her at the reunion and I didn't even notice her. She had like a mustache and she was not like, and those big old knockers were, they were
still big, but not
they're big,
in
yeah.
the same.
Yeah. Like
place.
Basically like just taking, trying to think how to explain it. Like a large sock with about 5 tennis balls in it.
Great. I hope she doesn't listen to this podcast.
You can edit this out.
God. I do think it's funny though, because aging to me, like I see like older women that I think are incredibly beautiful.
Yeah.
And like, I don't do anything to myself. I'm kind of a hippie, but
yeah.
I don't even know if I told you my one Botox story, but I got Botox one time from somewhere in Austin that like all of our friends recommended.
Yeah.
So I go there and like, I got it one time and my eyes, it made my eyes droop like this.
Oh,
and everyone
God.
Thought I was sick. Everyone's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I have the flu or something." And it was just a bad Botox job. And then all my friends are like, "It's because you didn't get enough. You got to go back. You got to get it here,
more.
Here,
yeah.
here. And then it'll lift it, everything." And I was like, "No, I'm not doing that. I don't care if people do
like,
it, but
you know, I've thought, you know, it seems to be the norm now. So it's, not that I've thought about it, but like, I'm afraid like, I don't want to mess anything up. Like, I'm afraid I'll look funny or something."
Yeah, so. I did. I looked like a cartoon character.
Yeah. But no, I mean, I agree with you. Like, some women age real. There was some other girls that were like at my reunion that were like not hot at all and kind of almost like gothy, going through, you know, kind of scary chicks. Like, but then you saw them and they were like beautiful. You mean like, wow, like, what was that girl's name? Beep. She was like all goth. Nobody would talk to her. She'd like walk down the hall like in like black lipstick. Like everybody's like, "Argh." People were like scared of her. And then Beep. Was like banging. I was like, "Girl, what's up?"
Dang.
Yeah. She was like, "Yeah."
Well, I think we're like at this point in the music business, it seems at least, where, I mean, when I got to Nashville, I was like 24. I can't remember, but that was like much too old.
Yeah.
And now it's like, there's all these artists that are mainstream that are not 16. Like, you don't have to be 16 anymore.
Yeah.
You don't have to be 24 anymore. It's kind of like everyone finally got over that where,
yeah, I'm
which
glad
is
about,
so
I'm glad about that.
Same.
Especially for girls. Cause like girls, it seemed to be getting younger there for a while. Like,
yeah,
if you're not 12, you're too old after 12. Right. You're like, what?
You're like, what? I don't even. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like writing in my diary about.
Yeah. But no.
I don't know where I was going with that. Kyle, edit that out. There was going to be something funny. Don't edit that out. I just lost my train of thought. I was just trying to think of what I was doing when I was 12.
Yeah. Me too.
But I agree. They only wanted stuff. They only wanted the girl that had just won The Voice that was 15.
Yeah.
And if you weren't that girl, like, you were kind of screwed.
Well, I think with the success of like, there's a bunch of artists out there, you know, that are older, that those, they're kind of, they're all skipping my mind right now because I'm thinking about
Kelly Clarkson.
Beep.
Carrie Underwood.
No, the girl with all the tats.
Oh, Ashley McBride.
That girl.
Yeah.
She's awesome.
She's amazing.
She's amazing. So girls like her, and the same thing with like
Brandi Clark, Brandi Carlile.
Carlile. Yeah. They're all like so great. And I think like we love them so much because we're seeing like the mature version of them. Maybe they weren't, maybe they were great early, young, but like, that's why we love them. Like, and the Chris Stapleton, who's like, he kind of broke the barrier for like men to be like, you know, to look like Justin Timberlake or be young.
Right.
Or, you know, like, here's this guy, big old, you know, heavy bearded guy with a hat that's right. amazing. So.
And I didn't know who I was like at that age. I didn't know what songs I wanted to write. And so I think I'm so glad that everyone seems to be coming around to the idea, because now I'm finally like, oh, I'm in my element.
Yeah.
And it, I was not at 16.
Do you listen to like your old stuff, like your first record or second? Do you like cringe, or do you go like, oh, I'm happy I made that? Or
I think that, whose podcast is it? Are you interviewing me now? No, I'm just kidding. I'm totally fine with it. But I really listened to my old record for the first time in a long time, because it was the, it's so loud. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
It was the 10-year anniversary of my first record. So I went and listened to it. And there was like a really sweet innocence to it, because it was before my Sony deal. It was before I had management. It was before I had anything. I had no rules. And I was just like writing songs because I love songs.
Yeah.
And it made me like really emotional, because I don't remember the last time that I wrote a song without thinking like, is this a radio hit? Or like, is it going to be too commercial? Or is it not commercial enough? Like, what genre is this? How long is it?
You know? That's true. Because I feel like that about our records. But at the same time, when I go back and listen to those records and go, that's not really very good. But it's just, you know, but it's still very raw. And,
right.
And I think I used to play guitar better back then.
What? I think your Brody Lane record, you are playing the heck out of a guitar. Unless that's not you.
No, it's me.
Okay. I thought that's me.
There's one or two songs that Rob played on. Our boy Rob.
I love our boy Rob.
Yeah. And he did some great work on a couple songs, but for the most part, it's me.
Well, I wanted to ask you, I mean, your topic, like this Only Vans, which I just bring my friends in to talk about kind of one specific topic, and that like the topic I chose for you is touring, because I'm just wondering, like you tour in so many different ways because you have so many different bands.
Yeah.
And you've been doing this for a while. So is it like easier or harder to tour in a van with like boys who like to, they like to drink and have fun, but there's not like a whole lot of like drugs and rock star stuff. Like, is that easier than touring in a big bus with like a bunch of cocaine? Well,
yeah, that's a little, a bunch. Oh my God. I think I snorted half a Peru during the 90s, but I don't know. Cause going back to like what you're saying, like the record, like your first record, how that there's no, it's just wild and free, and there's no preconceived notion of what you're supposed to do or who you're supposed to be. Like, you know, I grew up to Kiss and all my rock star, watching Van Halen and watching David Lee Roth throw TVs out the window and get arrested naked. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, that's so cool. You know, my mom and dad would be like, loser. But me and my brothers were like, oh, he's so awesome. Or when I'd look at somebody, I'd be like, wow, he's on heroin. That's so cool. He looks like he's about to die. He's freaking awesome. Like, that's, I don't know why kids like that stuff, even to this day. But like, so getting on a bus when we were on Sony and traveling the world and, you know, everything that you saw growing up of your heroes is happening to you. Like, just so many girls, like our crew guys would have, you know, backstage passes, and it got to the point to where, which I got this from David Lee Roth, is that, you know, we would give out backstage passes to our crew guys to go give to the girls to get them on the bus. And I would, to get the quality of the girls up, because for a while there was, you know, you get in some of the small towns, it gets a little squirrely, but I would put you know, their names on the passes on in a marker on the back of the passes and give them to them. And whoever brought like the hottest girl, I would look at the pass and give them $100 for incentive.
Incentive to bring the hot.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that I would do that. And then that's how we kind of upped our quality. I know this sounds terrible.
For me, it would be like, who can find the best dog sitter, or who takes my dog for the longest walk?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So that was kind of being in that whole, that's kind of all I knew. And it wasn't just, I don't want to make it sound like it was all about groupies or all that, but that whole lifestyle is everything they say it is. And so to say versus the van now, just, you know, we sit around and drink, and we don't really do drugs like that anymore. But, you know, you get, not that it's boring, but, you know, it was like van, get in the van, stop at Bucky's, drive 6, 7, 8 hours, play your gig, go to your hotel.
Right.
Eat crappy continental breakfast and wake up and get in the van and do it again. It's like, I mean,
it's
let's
not,
be honest.
It's not super rock star.
It's not super rock star. And do we have cool after parties in our hotels? Yeah, we still do rock star stuff like that. But like, it's just something about doing a mountain of blow with Pauly Shore on a stripper's butt.
Like, I'm glad that you got to do that. And then I get to like live through you. I've heard a lot of like the best stories, but I agree. It's like, it's super hard to maintain that lifestyle in a van.
Yeah.
Cause it's exhausting.
Well, also then you're in a van, you're in a small confined area. So,
right.
You know, you got to respect, there's a little box that everybody has and you got to kind of respect that space. And, you know, then there's that kind of like that code. If you bring up your partner or significant other or, you know, a groupie you picked up in Memphis, like, you know, you're kind of inconveniencing everybody else.
Right. Yeah. How does that hotel room get divided up? All my guys are like married. So yeah. It's like, great. It's, except Ka, but, yeah, that's really wonderful because that does get strange if there's like, okay, we have a hotel room and how's
now
that
as we
gotten
older, we just kind of, it's kind of just agreed that like, if you bring somebody in or your wife, whatever, then you got to kind of like take care of that yourself.
Yeah, that's our rule.
Don't bring that on the band. Like,
right. The rooms that I pay for are for the band. And yeah. So if your wife wants to come, like that's awesome. And I encourage it, yes. But it just has to, you have to buy your own room.
Get your own room. And that's cool. And I think that's just the way it should be. So
yeah, I learned that the hard way because one time a guy brought his girlfriend. I was like, sure, you know, this is 10 years ago when I started my band. And then the next weekend I had two girlfriends in the van. And then one time we had four girlfriends in the van and I like had nowhere to sleep. I couldn't lay down. And I was like, okay, this has to be separated. And that's for everybody's like mental health. Yeah. Really. Do you think social media has ruined, like, I kind of feel too, like I would go to some after parties and then everyone's just like filming the whole time. It kind of like, I'd rather just sit in the parking lot and drink beer moment. With my guys.
I think if social media has ruined anything, it's ruined like how we view our heroes and stars. Like, you know, there's a mystique to them, like Kiss or Van Halen. Like you only saw them either on stage or on MTV.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, if Paul Stanley is like baking a cake, I can comment literally on him baking a cake and going, bro, you put too much chocolate in there. You know, like there's no mystique, you know. Or, you know, there's people that can just hate on him, like just that were fans all day, like, hey, you look, you know, right. Your shoes look stupid. Like you would never say that to your rock god hero, like back in the day. You just, because the minute, all you saw was them coming out and you were just like, oh my God. And you kind of reveled in that moment. And
Paul talks about that too, where he remembers getting like the Robert Earl Keen record and all you knew about him was this cover of this album. And he was like, this is the coolest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, you have to post stories and you have to, that's my dog making squeakies. you have to, people, they, you feel like they have to really get to know you for them to follow you and pay attention all the time. And then, but then, yeah, you're right. Like people come to shows and they think that you're their best friend because they know everything about you. It's super strange.
That is strange. Or they'll ask you about something that you posted like a month ago and you're like, you didn't really mean much by it. You just kind of posted it just to post something because we're supposed to post stuff all the time.
Right.
And then they're really paying attention or watching, or they feel like they know my kids when they see Rio. They're like, hey, they get on their knees like, hey, did you have fun? And they talk about all the stuff that I posted about her. And she's just looking at them like,
this is a stranger. Yeah.
Is this
stranger
person?
Danger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine if there was like Snapchat when you were like throwing milk in the back lounge of a tour bus?
All over girls. Like and that was my rest in peace. My buddy, Jeff Van Zandt, he was our guitar tech, and I don't know who or how we had installed a stripper pole in the back of the, you know, the bus, the lounge. I don't know. And I don't know who went through the trouble of going to Home Depot and buying screws. And I don't even think the bus driver was cool with it. I think we got charged like $500 to fix the floor because they screwed like they had to screw the pole into the bus floor and all that. But so we had these girls, and you know there's champagne and they're slinging champagne, and we're like listening to Prince, and it was like yay, and everybody's got their tops off, and and then we ran out of champagne, and so Jeff Van Zandt comes in. He's eating Oreo cookies, and he's got this gallon of milk. And he just starts slinging milk everywhere. And it was like, yay, it was fun for 10 seconds. And then when it stopped, everybody was like,
oh, no.
It was a bad
idea. We're covered in dairy.
And then the worst thing is, if you ever left milk laying around, we tried to clean it up, but, you know, it got in the couches and the crevices. It just smells like, after about a week, smells like baby puke. So nobody wanted to go back there. Because usually during the day, we'd play video games, and we just stopped doing it because we had to get it all kind of... God, it's such an 80s term, but I was going to say we had to douche out the back room, but that's terrible. Douche out.
Yeah, I don't love that. Not going to lie. That's not my favorite term that you've used. Oh, no. Great.
My 90s side's coming
right.
out.
Right. And now, like, that's, like, not even good for you as a woman anymore. So no. Now, like, the young girl's going to be like, what are they talking about?
Yeah, that is, like.
We don't know.
I think you're not supposed to do that, right?
Right. And no, you're not. If you take anything from this podcast.
it rinses out all the good juices and stuff, right? Sorry, Marilyn.
I never thought I would be a douche expert. In this regard.
Cut.
I'm crying. Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Going back to...
Amazing.
Where are we going?
We got to get out of here. No, I...
How? Let's go all the way back. So hey,
start
welcome.
Over.
Welcome, AJ.
Oh, no. This is too much. I haven't eaten, and I had like half a glass of champagne. I have the giggles. But I did want to talk about... You told me back when you were on Sony, they put you on 80 tour dates in a row.
Yeah.
I can't even do, like, 8 would kill my voice and my body and my, I don't know how you did that.
Well, the thing was just that, like, because we made the mistake of telling them, like, we'll do anything, we're hungry, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, okay, that's good to hear. Like, so we had just gotten off the Stone Temple Pilots tour, and that was about 40 dates, and then in a row. And then there's a band called Fuel back in the 90s. They were some good friends of ours, great songs. And we did that for about 20 dates. And then here we go. We were ready to go home. And they were like, we just got added to the Blues Travelers tour. And that was another 20 dates with this Blues Travelers and Black Crowes. And I forget who else was on it.
Cool.
It was a cool tour. And then, so what was so funny is I was like literally taste blood. And like I was bleeding, losing my voice. And the funny thing is, and I know this sounds kind of dumb, but like we were medicating ourselves heavily, and I'm not saying that that was the answer, but like kind of it was the answer. Like that's really the only way that we could stay up or stay functional. Because if you just didn't do anything and try to just do it on your own, even if you were a healthy person, it's almost impossible to do. But I'm not, so anybody that listens to this, I'm not saying don't do that. Like don't,
right.
But, Alex, my brother, was so burnt out because he was, you know, he'd fallen in love with his wife now that he, is married to now, and they have wonderful kids. But, you know, he was trying to get a relationship and court this relationship, and he was the whole time you're telling your girl that you just met that you love, like, I'll be home. Our tour's almost over. Like, can't wait. And, you know, they were starting to have, like, their first, like, arguments, and he just, like, man, I just want to get home. And,
yeah.
When our manager was like, yeah, we're going to add these 20 dates. He didn't even tell anybody. We were like, where's that Alex? And then our guitar tech was like, I think he said he went to the airport.
Oh, he was like, I'm out of here.
Yeah, he's out of here. So we jump in there's no Uber then. We jump in a yellow cab and like shoot on over to the airport. And we're looking around and it was a small airport. We were in Philly. I think we were in Baltimore. And there's Alex with his rolling suitcase. Like, he's like walking to his gate, and we're like, hey, man. And then somehow we talked him out of not jumping on the plane. And,
jeez.
So we finished the dates, and then we did tell him no more. So the crazy thing was that when I got home, this is before, like, when I was, like, single, I didn't have no kids and all that, so I had to literally go, I tried to go home and sleep, and I couldn't sleep because it was so quiet.
Oh.
So I checked into, like, a hotel room, like, right down the road from my house, just to kind of, I needed, like, a couple of days to, like, decompress from, like, the road. So my friends were like, hey, dude, you're home. Are you home? I was like, I am home, but I'm, like, at the Holiday Inn down the road.
Yeah.
They're like, why are you there? Like, so it took a few days for me to, like, kind of do that. But then we went back on the road for another, God, during the Sony years, we toured probably 3 years straight. I was home probably all of 2 months for 3 years, so.
That's crazy because I feel like I tour a lot and that's like way more than
it's insane.
Tour.
It's literally like
that's insane.
Forget relationships. I mean, like I was gone so long that the girl I was dating, when I came home, I saw her at HEB with a 2-year-old son that was not mine.
Welcome home. Wow. Yeah. That's
like,
wild.
Hey, good to see you. I was like, are you babysitting or? Oh, this is my son. Oh, cool. All right.
Well, there's like this big article that people have been sharing about musicians like taking, you know, canceling tours for mental health reasons.
Yeah.
And that's like, that kind of was just unheard of back then, yeah. Really.
It's like, it was totally unheard of. It was almost like if you did anything, like even the thing with my brother Alex, we never even let the label know because if you did anything that made it sound like you were not down to promote your record, that they were taking all the money from, like, then you were hard to work with, or, you know, they would, you know, you just weren't, in their eyes, you just weren't, like, doing your part.
Yeah, you're dispensable, and they can drop you
yeah,
at any point. I just canceled a show because I have 5 in a row, and the middle show, I wasn't supposed to have 5 in a row, but now I do, and the middle show is at a smoky bar.
Ew.
And so I was like,
they still have those?
I know they do. They have like one and I was playing it.
Oh, they have one in America and you're playing it.
And I was playing it. So, I mean, I canceled it because it was like, it's not worth losing my voice. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm a little more conscious of it after COVID. I was kind of like really running myself ragged. And I got my old phone charged the other day and I was like, man, I look really tired. Like 2015 Brie was like, she looks exhausted,
yeah.
Real puffy. And I was kind of just like having a great time and eating whatever was free. And
I was going to say, not to cut you off. How's this thing doing?
This van?
Yeah.
I don't want to even talk about this van. I have spent $20,000 this year fixing this van.
I'm wondering how.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, and we named the podcast after this.
Yeah,
van.
Only vans.
But you don't have to take your clothes off unless you want to. It's your choice.
We're
not sponsored yet, so
2001 AJ would have done it, but not.
I know. I know.
Rocking dad bod, rocking COVID.
I'm glad I didn't know 2001 AJ because it's hard. It's hard enough being your friend. In the best way.
Yeah.
Like, we have the best time.
We do.
But I can't imagine having that much fun that long ago. I think we would have died.
We would have died.
We should not.
I feel like you're, like, one thing through our friendship, I've recognized is and I think it's probably because, or I'd like to think that it's because you are in this male-dominated world, you kind of, like, it's like hanging with a bro. Like, you kind of, like, you can hang with the guys. Like, you're not, you know.
Thank you.
Do people tell you that?
Yeah.
Like you can, like you're not like, oh my god. Like, I mean, if you need to go splash yourself clean, like in a bathroom, like you'll do it. You're not like, oh my god, I can't have, like, you know.
Yeah, I have, like, you know, I can't always like shave my legs and my arms and stuff, armpits and stuff. Like, I mean, the guys are kind of like, they don't seem like disgusted by it,
yeah.
But I just have to live kind of like a dude sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's just how it has to be.
We've talked about it before. You're like, it's not fair. Cause the guys, we just throw on like some pants and put on a hat and you're like, they look fine. I mean,
I woke up like this, but no, it's the hair, it's the makeup, it's the whole deal. Touring as a guy. I mean, there's really, I can't imagine doing that many dates like you did as a female.
Yeah.
Just the amount of clothes and makeup. Did you wear makeup ever? Were you an eyeliner person?
No, I mean, for about 5 hot minutes, I wore guy liner. And we all did, you know, like it was because it was cool. It accentuated your eyes on stage. But
right.
No, not really. The thing I did is when I first went on my first tour, I was like, yeah, like I brought this big suitcase with all these stage outfits on and. If you're on a bus, it starts getting cluttered with a bunch of stuff. So, and then I just hated, like, And then you got to do, you got to think about laundry and all this crap. And like, and you know, you got priorities like parties and girls and all that stuff. So you like laundry now. So basically like about 2 weeks in, we were swinging through Dallas and my sister was coming up and I was like, just take my backpack. I mean, just take my suitcase. I don't even need it. Cause I was basically, what I was doing is like, I would just have like three pants. And back then we just wore black pants. You didn't wear jeans or anything like that. You would add three pants and I would just wash them like in a sink or wherever. Or if it rained, I'd just throw it outside and hang it somewhere. Like, and then I would just wear people's concert shirts. Like whoever I was touring with, it was, you know, cool bands. So, and then I would wear those and leave them in a hotel or some chick would, you know, walk off with it. Like, so I didn't. And then on our rider, we would put, you know, clean underwear and socks. So, and then I would just, whenever I showered, I would just leave them wherever I showered. So,
well, hopefully in the trash can, but maybe not. I don't know.
Sometimes.
That's interesting that you say that because for a whole year, I got so sick of putting together outfits. Yeah. I love fashion, but I don't like the act of putting together an outfit for every show, you know, 200 times a year. That's a lot. And so for one whole year, I only wore black shirts. And I changed my jewelry and my boots and I just wore the same black tank top and then the winter long sleeve black shirt. Nobody noticed.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it kind of simplified things for a minute. If anyone wants to do that, it was a great break. But we're like nearing the end. I was wanting to tell some crazy road stories, but you already did a lot of that unless you have one more.
That's about, I mean, I have so many, but I don't want to. I don't want people to leave this podcast going like, that guy's insane.
Yeah. But climbing rafters and breaking ribs.
Yeah, right. Which I don't do any of that anymore because I have kids, so I'm trying to...
Stay alive
so I can go see them, you know, graduate, whatever. But I really want to talk about it real quick before we leave.
Sure.
Your record is amazing.
Oh, stop it.
Yes. I'm blown away because I remember you were calling us, you know, showing friends of ours, Mark and Cassie, and I was just going like, what do you think? Is my record... I don't know if it's like... I recorded a bunch of songs I like writing or that I love and didn't really think about mainstream or anything like that. And when we heard it, I was like, you've arrived. So
thank you. It's a very songwritery record.
Yeah.
And I think people that are not songwriters, I was like, they're not going to get it, but people have been really responding well. So I'm so thankful.
That's what I feel like. I mean, mine's a little darker.
I was just going to say, like, and yours is going to be out soon, your new one, and it's a dark record, and I can't wait.
Yeah, it's dark, because, you know, my mom passed last year, and just, you know, the pandemic, and I was just going through a lot of changing times and stuff, but
That's what happens when you turn 82.
That's right. The cool thing is, it was almost, like, very therapeutic to get it off my chest, because now I'm already writing, the next record, and it's, like, happier, and, like, where I'm at now, so I feel like I had to get that out of my system. And I think songwriting is cool for that.
Totally. And you should be allowed to make the art that you want to make. And I'm glad. And you also produce and direct and have 55 bands. And
well, now I'll just have three, just Vallejo, Love and Chaos. I got rid of the, I'm not doing the Prince thing anymore. And I'm not doing like South Town or that anymore. So.
Okay.
Now I just have three.
Just three. Only three bands.
Only three bands.
And making music videos for me.
Yes.
And... producing making, on your spare time.
Make three bands and making music videos for Brie Bagwell.
Yeah, that's right. I just so everybody knows, we had like a really cool moment where we got to like live together.
Yeah.
Kind of. And it was so much fun because you were like doing music videos for me and I was like, you can have this room. And we just like we made the most amazing videos during that time. And so
I wish we would have, like, if TikTok would have been around, it would have been insane.
Yeah, we would. One time AJ brought home roller skates at like 2 a.m. and we roller skated all through our apartment. And I went to like propel myself forward and I grabbed the freezer handle so I could like propel myself forward. And I pulled and the freezer opened and I just ate it.
The neighbors downstairs had to hate us. Like they were just like, it just, oh, can you imagine what it sounded like down there?
I'm not proud of it because now in my old age, I'm like, oh, you kids upstairs.
We have that video somewhere. We gotta find it.
But I'm so excited for your new project coming out.
Yeah.
And Brody Lane's great. I love your guys. I love that band.
Yeah.
So.
I love you too. Whiskey.
And Whiskey's here. Sorry, she was squeaking.
She's like, over it.
Yeah.
She's like, how long is this podcast? Yeah.
She's answering. Thank you so much.
Yay.
And I love you. Everyone follow AJ Vallejo and all of his
Just Google
great
me.
Bands. And we got a new video coming out together very soon.
Yes, it's going to be great.
Yippee, it's probably going to already be out.
Yes, right.
Whatever. Okay.
Your new album will be out.
Yeah, and can you say thanks, Kyle, in the South Park?
Thanks, Kyle.
Just another day.